Welcome to A Little Self-Reliant, a podcast designed to help you embrace a bit more self-sufficiency no matter where you're at. I'm your host, Ashley Constance, and my mission is to guide you towards practical and attainable skills to cultivate a more self-reliant life. Whether you live on a farm in the country or a house in the city, I believe that there is something for everyone in the world of self-reliance. If you love soul-centered conversations around growing food, sustainability, modern homesteading, and connection to the land that feeds us, then this is the place for you. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 19, 5 herbal teas you can grow in your garden, and today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. Well, hello. If you are a fellow Albertan and you're listening to this in real time, I hope you're staying safe and dry with all of this insane rain we've been getting. Here where we are, it's been pretty much okay, just a lot of water. But I know that a lot of nearby towns and cities are on flood watch, which is kind of scary. At the time of this recording, nothing too crazy has gone down as of yet, and I am really hoping it stays that way. So I don't have any announcements this week, and I also don't have any new reviews to read, so that's pretty easy. However, if you would like to hear your review read on a future episode and you haven't already left one, it would mean so much to me if you could do that. Head over to your podcast player of choice and leave a rating and a review. This helps the show to be discovered by more people who are also on a journey of self-reliance. Okay, so a quick homestead update. It has just been a really, really wet week here, and it doesn't look like the rain is going to let up anytime soon. It's supposed to continue for the next week, maybe even longer. So I am obviously grateful for the rain, especially because we had such a scary dry spring. But like anything else, balance is kind of crucial here, so I am keeping my fingers crossed that things stay reasonable with the rainfall. We've mostly just been keeping the animals fed and sheltered, and they're all pretty miserable about the rain, to be honest. They all have clean and dry places to go to get out of the rain, but it never ceases to amaze me how certain chickens will just stand out in the rain, absolutely soaking wet. It is a very funny thing to see. I think it's hilarious, honestly. And if you've never seen a wet chicken before, I highly suggest you do a Google image search and have at yourself a little laugh. We have mostly just been preparing for a very busy week ahead. If you are listening to this in real time on Wednesday, then tonight we are getting our second hive of bees installed. And then on Friday morning, we are bringing home 50 new chicks. Yes, 50 new chicks, which are going to be our meat birds for the year. Also on Friday, we are getting our first 2 goats. So mostly we've just been preparing for all of that, and I've been taking advantage of these rainy days to get some batch cooking and prep work done inside the house. Because let's be honest, as soon as we have baby goats on this property, I am not doing anything else. I'm not going to want to do much of anything except probably just stare at them. Okay, so on to our main topic of the day, which is 5 herbal teas that you can grow in your garden. I am really excited about this topic, and while you may be feeling like it's maybe too late to grow anything this gardening season, since it's already mid-June, I just want to let you know that you can totally still grow herbs. You will not be able to start them from seed for a harvest this year, but you can absolutely buy transplants from your garden center and get them in the garden for a late summer and fall harvest. All right, let's get into it. All right, so I am just going to start out with a little disclaimer here. Obviously, I am not a doctor, nor am I a certified herbalist. I am a gardener and a hobbyist who is passionate about plants and herbs in my own life. This is not intended to be medical advice, and it is also not intended to diagnose or treat any ailment. And this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Always consult with your primary healthcare provider before working with any herbs. Okay, so on to the topic. With the gardening season shifting into full swing around here lately, I have been finding my love for herb gardening kind of rekindled, and that usually does happen this time of year, and I attribute that mostly to the earth's energy just being so vibrant and expansive and alive as we head into the summer. The perennial culinary herbs such as thyme and oregano have returned in the garden, and harvesting and working with them has me thinking a lot about the medicinal tea herbs that I like to grow in my garden as well. So back when I was living in the city, my little herb garden was a huge part of my urban homestead. I grew herbs both for culinary and medicinal purposes, and because they are so easy to harvest, dry, and store, they were something I'd have on hand long into the winter as well. Today, I want to share my top 5 must-have plants in my herbal tea garden, and hopefully this inspires you to grow something this summer that you can use for months to come. So first, a quick note on drying herbs. When selecting herbs for drying and preserving, choose healthy, blemish-free parts of the plant. You can snip off entire stems of your desired plant, as it will be easier to remove the leaves, which are generally the part you want, once they are dry. Most herbs are extremely easy to dry, and you have a few options with how to do this. First, you can lay your herbs flat on a paper towel in a sunny location with good airflow to dry. This can take quite a long time, and it can also have kind of like inconsistent results with the drying, and it can be really annoying if a breeze blows them around or like you close a door really fast and all your herbs go flying everywhere, but it does work in a pinch. Second, you can bundle your herbs together, tie them with a string around their stems, and hang them to dry somewhere, again, with good air circulation. This is a beautiful way to dry your herbs, and it always gives me kind of like practical magic vibes to see a bunch of herb bundles drying throughout my house. The downside to this is that it takes a while, and your herbs can get a little bit dusty as a result. If you're concerned about that, you can tie a paper bag around the bundles while they are drying. The third option, and my personal favorite, is to dehydrate your herbs. This generally requires the use of a dehydrator, though, which I know not everyone has access to. Some people can manage to do this in their ovens on an extremely low temperature setting, but you will want to do a bit of research on this. I've never done this. I have heard that if the temperature is even just a little bit too high, all of your herbs will burn. So from what I understand, most ovens don't operate at quite a low enough temperature to facilitate this, but it may be looking into if this is your only option. Now, if you do have a dehydrator, you can lay your herbs out flat on your dehydrator trays and dry them on the lowest temperature setting, usually around 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 27 degrees Celsius is what I typically like to use. And most herbs only take about 6 to 8 hours to dehydrate. Some may take a little bit longer though. No matter the drying method that you choose, you definitely want to make sure that your herbs are 100% dry before you put them into storage. Herbs that still contain moisture are obviously susceptible to mold. A herb is totally dry when it snaps when bent or crumbles when you crush up the leaf. There is more information on how to properly store dried herbs at the end of this podcast, so we will get into that in a few minutes. Okay, so here is the list of my 5 must-have herbs in my garden. Number 1, honestly, my all-time favorite. I just absolutely love this plant, and that is lavender. It wasn't until I became a gardener that I fully learned to appreciate the real, pure, fragrant lavender, which honestly smells nothing like the synthetic commercial perfumes that sometimes use the same name. Lavender is well known for its relaxing properties, but did you know that you can also add dried lavender to your favorite tea blend? It adds a delicious floral flavor and a deeply calming aroma. It is completely edible, so some people even add it to baked goods and make a sweet lavender cocktail syrup with it, or I've seen it sprinkled on top of sugar cookies. There are all kinds of creative ways to use lavender in your cooking as well. So lavender can be a bit finicky to start from seed, so I do recommend purchasing starts from your local garden center if you are new to gardening. English lavender is my personal favorite. It attracts beneficial insects to the garden. It looks gorgeous whether it's planted in the ground or in a large pot. And did I mention the smell? It smells so good. The type that I grow is called Munstead lavender, and I did actually manage to start it from seed this year, but the results were pretty rough. Like, I think I started 9 seeds, I went through the whole cold stratification process, and only 2 plants actually made it to the garden this year. You can harvest your lavender as soon as the tiny purple buds appear and before the flowers open. Closed buds will retain aroma and color better, and also they will fall off the stem much easier once they're dried. Lavender is considered to be a perennial, but in our tricky northern climate, that isn't always the case. This year I am trying, like I said, Munstead lavender, and I am really hoping with some extra mulch in the fall, it will survive the winter. But every lavender plant I have ever had in my 6 years of gardening has always died over the winter. So don't be too hard on yourself if that happens to you as well. Number two is catnip. So we all know that cats go crazy for catnip. It is a powerful stimulant for them. But did you know that catnip can actually have a very relaxing effect on humans? Catnip, also sometimes called cat mint, because it is a part of the mint family, is my personal favorite herb to add to my nighttime sleepy teas. It's gentle enough that it doesn't make me feel overly drowsy or groggy or anything, just relaxed and ready for a good night's rest. Catnip is extremely easy to start from seed, and it is usually also readily available at most garden centers during the spring and summer. Harvest the leaves frequently for continuous growth. The leaves can then be dried and stored in an airtight container for optimal freshness. Catnip is a member of the mint family, as I previously said, which also means that it is a perennial and it is going to spread like crazy and going to basically take over the area in which it grows. So for cat mint, catnip, mint, anything in that family, if you want to avoid that uncontrollable spread, you're going to want to keep it contained to a specific area or in its very own separate planter. And that actually brings me really well to number three, which is just simply mint. A few years ago, I had a little bit of an obsessive love affair with mint. At one point, I was growing peppermint, spearmint, chocolate mint, pineapple mint, apple mint, I had mojito mint, and even a strawberry mint. That was a very minty year, but I became obsessed with infusing them into my water during the summer, and it was so much fun and so delicious, and they were really fun to store for tea for the winter as well, especially chocolate mint. There are so many amazing kinds of mint available that didn't even scratch the surface with all of the ones that you can find. You can usually find them as plants at the garden center, but also obviously as seeds as well. Feel free to experiment with as many varieties as you want. Just be sure to keep them in their own container, as I mentioned before, because they do have a tendency to take over everything in their path. Stems can be cut and dried as often as needed. You can store the leaves in an airtight container and enjoy the comforting, minty freshness well into the winter months. I really like to add mint to my teas, especially when my stomach is feeling a little upset, and I find it's also a really nice base flavor for a bunch of different herbs as well. Number four is chamomile, or sometimes called chamomile. I don't care how you say it. There's that video that was going around where somebody pronounces it chamomile. So you do you. I don't care how you say it, but I say chamomile, and this plant is amazing. I began drinking a lot of chamomile tea a few years ago to help me relax and feel a little bit less anxious. But like so many other things, I didn't fully appreciate these incredible little flowers until I began to grow them myself. A fresh chamomile flower smells like crisp, sweet apples, and there is absolutely no comparison to the store-bought tea bags. Chamomile is a totally foolproof annual that grows well in almost all conditions. I had a small window box full of it last summer on my back fence, and I was harvesting about a quarter cup of mature flowers every single day at the height of the summer. It was unbelievable. And the more you harvest, the more will continue to grow with chamomile. Once flowers begin to appear, they can be pinched off or cut off at the stem, whichever you prefer. Once they're dried, they will still smell like fresh apples, and you won't believe the taste when you steep these whole flowers in hot water. Chamomile seeds are absolutely tiny, and they have a tendency to self-sow themselves, so don't be surprised if you see baby chamomile plants popping up in the same area the following year. Number five is lemon balm. Lemon balm makes a fantastic base for almost any herbal tea. Its mild, citrusy flavor lends itself well to most other herbs, and its uplifting yet calming properties are a welcome addition to whatever you're in the mood for. It's also flavorful enough to stand on its own as an herbal tea if you are after something simple. It is super easy to grow from seed, and it grows beautifully in containers and thrives in part to full sun. Harvest, dry, and store lemon balm much like the same way you would mint or catnip. In fact, like catnip and mint, lemon balm is also a member of the mint family, so proceed with similar caution when you grow this shockingly prolific herb. Okay, so now I want to talk about some storage tips for your herbs. The first thing is you want to label. You may think you'll be able to remember what's what based solely on the way it looks or the way it smells, but you would be surprised how similar some herbs can seem when they're just dry leaves. Labeling everything you harvest and store from your garden and writing the date as well is a really good habit to practice. You also want to ensure dryness before storing. So, like I said earlier, most herbs should be dry enough that they crack or crumble when bent in half. Herbs with residual moisture are susceptible to mold, and nobody wants moldy tea. I have found that the most reliable way to dry my herbs is definitely in the dehydrator. You will want to store them in mason jars or amber glass jars. Now, can we just take a moment to appreciate mason jars? Whether you're an urban gardener or a full-on homesteader, soon enough you will realize that mason jars are the best way to store pretty much everything in your kitchen. They're transparent, airtight, and come in a variety of sizes, and you can honestly just never have too many mason jars. Another way to avoid degradation of dried herbs is to store them in amber glass jars, but these can sometimes be tricky to find, or if you do find them, they might be like really small and you need a bigger container for all of your dried herbs. Just try to keep them out of direct sunlight as much as you can, and this will help preserve their color and their oils and their integrity. And lastly, you want to store whole when possible. So storing whole intact leaves will preserve freshness, flavor, and seal in every last bit of those aromatic and beneficial oils that the plants hold. If space is an issue, then dried leaves can be crushed or crumbled and stored. But if you can, I would really encourage you to store them whole and then just crumble them up right before you use them for maximum quality and freshness. Now that is all I have for you on growing herbal tea in your garden. Obviously, there are many, many, many more plants that you can grow other than the ones mentioned here, but I just wanted to give you an idea with these five super easy ones to get started if you've never tried this before. It is just as easy as it is rewarding, and the best part is that you really don't need a lot of space to do it. So I am looking at you, apartment and condo gardeners. This is a great solution for you. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of the episode today. If you would like to support the work that I'm doing in creating this podcast, there are a few ways that you can do that. First, you can rate, review, and subscribe. Second, you can share this episode with a friend or on your social media channels. Third, if you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can head over to patreon.com/alittleselfreliant and choose from 5 different levels of monthly support. Tiers start as low as just $3 a month, and there are a variety of different bonuses and benefits available. Your support means the world to me and helps me to continue bringing you fresh new episodes week after week. You are also invited to join my Facebook group, Living a Little Self-Reliant, where we talk all about self-reliance topics such as gardening, cooking, food preservation, raising animals, and so much more. Just answer the questions when you request to join and let me know that you heard about the group on the podcast, and I'll be sure to get you in there right away. You can search for the group right in Facebook, and I will also have it linked in the show notes for this episode. I would also like to shout out the wonderful Positively Farming Media Podcast Network, which this podcast is a proud member of. If you'd like to hear more amazing podcasts hosted by other awesome women in the food, farming, and agriculture space, I will have a link in the show notes to our Spotify playlist where you can check out all of the other episodes. All right, my friends, until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, have a great week, and I will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to A Little Self-Reliant. I hope you learned something or felt something or maybe even gained some inspiration to try something new. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at A Little Self-Reliant, or you can follow our homesteading adventures under the handle Dirty Paws Homestead. You can also visit alittleselfreliant.com to see the blog post and show notes that accompany this episode. And until next time, remember, we may not be able to do everything, but a little self-reliance goes a long way.